New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
Greetings, fellow Bible believers. On this broadcast, we believe unequivocally that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of the living God. It's the perfect revelation from God, inspired and breathed from heaven, breathed and inspired by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. The Bible says in Revelation 22 that we're not to add to this revelation or take away from this revelation. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, dividing aright the Word of God. Bible friends, throughout the pages of the Old Testament, the Lord was prophesying. Through His prophets inspired them, and they spoke many, many times of the glorious future kingdom. As Moses came up out of the wilderness, even God inspired Moses to speak about that future coming of that prophet, like unto him. And he said unto him, "You're going to hearken." And so the underlying prophetical red thread through all of the Old Testament is pointing to Christ, pointing to the kingdom, pointing to the church, pointing to the Messiah, pointing to salvation. And during that time, they pointed forward to the cross. Now we look back to the cross, and there's only salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the way He deals with mankind is through His church, based on the clear teachings of the Word of God. There are many people that have various opinions about the church, but as we look at the Bible, forgetting Protestantism, forgetting Romanism, forgetting denominationalism, forgetting all of the additions of men, and what a tragic thing it is to see how man has tampered with the church down through the years. But Jesus said in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, after Peter made that noble confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." My fellow Bible believer, if Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build," we better study exactly what He was saying when He said He was going to build. Then He told us what He was going to build. He said, "I will build my church." He didn't say the Protestants could go their way with the church, the Catholics could go their way with the church, the denominations could go their way with the church, the Pope could go his way with the church, the preachers could go their way with the church. The church is the body of Christ. It's the kingdom of God on earth. And when Jesus returns, He's returning after His church. And so in order to be saved, we must be a part of the church. When we die, we must die in the church. There's no salvation outside of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible refers to the church in various ways in the New Testament. In Romans 16:16, the Apostle Paul said, "The churches of Christ salute you." Then it's referred to as the church of God. It's referred to as the church of the firstborn. And of course, Jesus was the firstborn. Then it's just referred to as the church. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And so in order to be saved, you must be in the church. And in order to be in the church, you're saved. You're saved, and at the same time you're saved, you're added to the church, because to be saved and to be added to the church is the same thing. The Lord does the saving, then He starts adding to the church. We're not added to the church by the church clerk. We're not added to the church by a vote of the church deacons. We're not added to the church by subscribing to a creed that our particular denomination has concocted. We're only added to the church when the Lord adds us to the church. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible says, "And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved." The Lord was preparing for the coming of the church all the way back, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, as we get into the Gospels, starting with John the Baptist. He heralds the future coming of the kingdom. John the Baptist said in John chapter 3 and verse 3, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so John the Baptist was a straight-shooting, Bible-believing, hellfire-and-brimstone-loving preacher. He preached the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, non-compromisingly, to those people that came out there to the Jordan River. Those long robe-wearing, collar-turned-around, backwards, frock-tail, hypocritical Pharisees came out to his baptism. And he said, until you repent, I'm not baptizing any of you. But John the Baptist preached to the masses, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was referring to the church. He was referring to the body of Christ. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That can be translated, the kingdom of heaven is near. And so the kingdom of heaven is near, John the Baptist said. My, how near it was. Jesus was coming onto the scene. And he spoke of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, Jesus prophesied about the kingdom. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's interesting, as we follow the references to the kingdom on through the New Testament, how the Bible teaches after Pentecost, after people had obeyed the gospel as it's revealed in Acts chapter 2, after the apostles followed the message of the Holy Spirit, the Bible refers to the kingdom as having been already established. As a matter of fact, when Paul wrote to various churches, he told them that they were in the kingdom, that they had been translated into the kingdom. And so when we're added to the church by the Lord, we're also added to and we are made to become a part of His spiritual kingdom. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 12, the Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. And then he said in verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And so the Bible teaches that these Colossians that had already obeyed the gospel, these Colossians had heard the gospel and believed it, and they had been immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. In Colossians 2:12, the Bible says, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. And He says to these Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 13 that they had been translated into the kingdom. And so these Colossian Christians were in the kingdom. When they became Christians, they were added to the kingdom. When they became Christians, they became saints. You don't become a saint after you're dead. Don't wait until after you're dead in order to think that somehow you're going to become a saint. In Bible days, any Bible that you look at, in Bible days, the followers of Christ were called saints. Over and over when Paul introduces his epistles to the various congregations where he had been, he refers to them as saints. And so when you're in the church, you're in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom, you're saved from your past sins. When you're in the kingdom, you're declared to be a saint. When you're in the kingdom, you're a part of the Lord's spiritual church. And so in Colossians, the Bible says that these Colossian Christians had been translated into the kingdom. Then in Thessalonians, we have the same thing. As we look here at this powerful, powerful passage, I'd like to begin with 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. Paul says to those Christians, those saints, those believers, those members of the church, he said, you are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. For this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. But he says the same thing to the Thessalonians that he says to the Colossians. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12 that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into His kingdom and glory. And so the kingdom is the church. The kingdom is the church upon this earth. And when you're a part of the church, you're a part of the kingdom. Of course, there's going to be the perfection of the kingdom when Jesus comes, and the translation of the kingdom at the end of time, But the apostles knew that the church was the kingdom. In Acts chapter 1, prior to Jesus' ascension, the Bible says that the disciples spoke to Jesus, and they said, "Will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time?" He said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put within His own power. But you shall be witnesses unto me," He says, "after the power has come." And brothers and sisters, on the day of Pentecost, the power came, and the apostles preached, and the plan of salvation was given, and the Lord added to the church the ones that were being saved, and then they were referred to as being part of the kingdom. As we talk about the church, it's wonderful to read the powerful sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ and what the Bible plainly says about His kingdom. In the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, we have a very, very familiar passage. And I can remember this was a passage that was dealt with very, very often when I was a young man interested in the Word, being raised up at the Ocean View Church of Christ in Ocean View, Delaware, still a faithful New Testament church. Over and over and over, those preachers would take their text from the book of Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." But He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Peter had just said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Upon this rock." You see, Peter was not the rock. He was a rolling stone. The church is not built on Peter. It's built on Christ. The Bible is built upon Jesus Christ. Of course, the apostles and prophets were stones, but Jesus was the chief cornerstone, and the church is built upon Jesus. And Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell." That can also be translated the gates of death, the gates of darkness. No gates, no gates in hell, no gates anywhere. The liberalism of man will not destroy the church. There will be a remnant. And when Jesus comes, He's coming after one institution, and that is His spiritual church. It's wonderful when people respond to the message of the gospel. We were preaching for the New Testament Church of Christ in Englewood, Florida, just a few weeks ago. At invitation time, there were three adults that walked down the aisle, two in their middle age years that repented and were immersed right there before we went out the door. There was an 85-year-old woman on a cane that had Roman Catholic background that heard the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that woman, 85 years of age, on the basis of her faith and confession in Christ, she went down into the waters of Christian baptism. The Bible says, "Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him to walk in a newness of life." And so as we've come to invitation time, obey the gospel. Obey the gospel. Tune in next week for a continuing study on the subject of the Lord's church. Obey the gospel while there's time. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the privilege of preaching on the radio near and far, across continental barriers. We thank you, Father, for the great opportunity to proclaim the Word and help people to respond in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational, Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more Heaven High, Hell Deep, and Worldwide Shotgun Barrel Straight Preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.